Good evening. It is Monday around 7 p.m. in the evening, and I'm in Little Saigon, Seattle, and the sun burst through the solar radiation management screen today for a short while, and it was wonderful. And there's creatures outside that are limping along as the life cycle of the Earth's existence spins away. I was reading an article on Zero Hedge, and oh yeah, it's April the 8th, 2019. And yeah, I was reading an article on Zero Hedge. Excuse me, I just took some water. I just drank some water. I was reading an article on Zero Hedge about Chuck E. Cheese. The title of the article is Cheese Whiz. And essentially, they're talking about I don't know. They're basically talking about some type of an investment scheme. I don't know. They're going to be prepares to rejoin the ranks of publicly traded companies. So Chuck E. Cheese is going to be publicly traded again, or something. CEC, Chuck E. Cheese. I don't know. I don't know how Chuck E. Cheese is still in business. I remember when I was a kid. I remember when I was a kid. The cool thing about Chuck E. Cheese is they had a big arcade. And here's the deal. I grew up in the 70s and 80s. And if you, in general, unless you were rich, because yeah, by the early 80s, kids could buy game consoles, the Atari 2600. And you could play that. But the truth is, the really cool games were still at the arcade. So if you wanted to play the cool video games, it wouldn't be till the late 80s, like with the first Nintendo, that you could kind of play them at home. And really, that didn't really completely take over until the 90s. But, you know, in terms of the performance of consoles at home. Anyways, I don't want to go off on a tangent about technological history, but until the affordable high definition TVs came along and the consoles, there was still this competition. So, yeah, anyways, back in the day, you went someplace to play video games. You took a bunch of quarters with you or you bought tokens. Chuck E. Cheese was one of these places that forced you to convert your currency into the local currency, which was the Chuck E. Cheese token, I believe. Ugh. And so you'd convert your money into tokens and then you'd use these tokens to play the games. And some games were, you know, kind of affordable, and some games were not. I just got to be honest about it. Some games were really, really expensive. They took a lot of tokens. I remember this one adventure game that was sort of like Dungeons. I think it was called Dungeons and Dragons or something. But I remember this one adventure game that was sort of like a movie playing. They'd play a little bit of a movie from a laser disc or something. It was like a cartoon. There are a bunch of these simulators that were really expensive. There were expensive. That's why you went to Chuck E. Cheese, is to play the expensive video games. Or just to play Galaga. I like Galaga. That was one of my favorite games. Or Asteroids was okay. I like Red Baron. It had those kind of vector graphics, you know, the black and white. I like Red Baron. I thought that was cool. It had a weird kind of, you know, obviously graphics, but I thought it was cool, especially when a blimp blew up. It turned into little, you know, like toothpicks. I just loved it. There are some games I liked. Rampage, when it came out in the 80s. So I think that was around 85 or 86. It probably was 86 or 87, but Rampage is where you could play King Kong or Godzilla, or I think it was the Wolfman or something. But you would go around and you would punch the buildings and punch each other. I don't know, you weren't supposed to punch each other, but I would generally play against the team and punch the dudes around, punch them up. And you knock down buildings and go on a rampage. That's really good. That was a good game for kids. Here's a game. Let's come up with a game where the survival scheme, the goals involve a lot of physical violence because you're on a rampage. Just like, fuck. What the fuck was wrong with us? Chuck E. Cheese, though, as the years went by, Chuck E. Cheese seemed to get grosser and grosser. Hold on, I gotta check on my food. Sorry for that pause. I was, yeah, I'm cooking dinner. I'm making Sklimba stew. It is a wonderful mixture of some noodles and beans. and the Gromp and the Rimuli and the grime that grows and the mungle toad that is next to my toilet that contains protein and vitamin L, and I mix it together with the other stuff I find by the wayside, and that becomes Scrimbus stew, and it's so tasty. I don't want to go too far off topic because the topic was Chuck E. Cheese, but it's sort of related. I do have a cookbook coming out in December, just in time for Christmas. I have a cookbook coming out. The name of the cookbook is Living Rough. And the name of the cookbook is Living Rough. And, yeah, I don't know. It's like, the first chapter one is going to be titled, What Can You Do With That Thing You Found? You know, that's chapter one. What can you do with that thing you found? Can you know, how do you cook it? Can you cook it? You found it on the ground. Is it edible? That's what the crows do. The crows look for things to eat. I think chapter two will be titled, If It Grows On You, Then It's Good For You. But yeah, Living Rough, a cookbook coming out December 2019. It's really, I would call, a prepper's must-have guide to living that life in the great, powerful cities of the future where you might not get to be on the inside of the buildings. Maybe you have to cling to the outside. Maybe you only get to live on the outside layer of the buildings. So you gotta live rough. Yeah, so Chuck E. Cheese was cool when I was a kid. And yes, you could go play video games. And as I recall, their pizza was okay. But they went downhill. And I gotta say, a lot of these pizza places went downhill in the 90s. I don't know if there's a connection. I don't know if there's some conspiracy. I remember Godfather's Pizza was pretty good. And then, you know, it kind of went sideways, and then there was like that other place, you know, not Papa John's, but that other place I'm thinking of. Anyways, yeah, you know, and I don't, Domino's has always been okay, but listen, Chuck E. Cheese went downhill, and its pizza was never that great, and then it got this kind of gross, nasty feeling to it. At one point, I think I remember going to a Chuck E. Cheese when I was in the Army. I think it was in the late 90s and I was still in the Army, and I went to a Chuck E. Cheese because somebody was having a party for their kid. And listen, God bless moms and dads having parties for their kids, and kids probably love Chuck E. Cheese. But the thing looked run down, and the little robots, they looked like they were kind of broken, and the eyes were sticking out, and you could see the metal springs, you know, the little dancing band robots. They looked run down. They looked dangerous. The games looked sleazy and dangerous. The place looked sleazy and dangerous. That's my last Chuck E. Cheese memory. I'm not a fan of Chuck E. Cheese. But this did make me think of a pizza place I really liked when I was a kid. It was called Shakey's. Now, you could say, what's Shakey's, Dan? I don't even know if there is a Shakey's that still exists. And just an FYI, I may have to take a break on this podcast because I am cooking dinner and I don't want to screw it up. It's easy for me to screw these things up and overcook my Scrimbus stew. You don't really want to do that unless you want to like have lots and lots of blood in your stool. So I don't want to overcook the Scrimbus stew. It has to be at the right temperature. And then, yeah, so I might be taking a pause here. I'll be right back. Okay, so I just, you know, took a pause there. You didn't notice because I paused the recorder. So for you, it's almost like, you know, relativity theory. Yeah, you just traveled to Mars. For you, no time passed at all. And for me, all this time passed or something like that. Anyways, I just checked my stew and I got the Scrimbus out and the Rimuli and it looks like it's healthy. And the Gombits survived the process and all the creatures of the earth that feed me from my bathroom. It's all fine. I'll be fine. I think I'm more fungus now than man. I think all my connective tissue is now fungus. So if you sprayed me with fungicide, I would probably melt. And that's pretty fucked up. But that's the reality. That's the candida paradise we're living in. We're living in a candida paradise. And I'll tell you something else too if I'm going off tangent. A great name for a stripper is candida. Next up on stage at Roxy's, candida. Yeah, Candida's on stage, and she's shaking her booty. Yeah, I never got a good feeling about Chuck E. Cheese. There was always better places to play video games. Like, I liked to play video games. Like, I mean, who didn't like Donkey Kong? Who didn't like going to the Pie Factory? Come on. Donkey Kong was awesome. Going to the Pie Factory, throwing those beer barrels around. Jumping over beer barrels, watching out for that giant fucking gorilla with his bullshit. Who did not like Donkey Kong? So there were some cool places to play some cool video games, but I never got a good vibe from Chuck E. Cheese. You know, they have that, like I said, they have that animatronic kind of animal band that would play music, the robotic bullshit like you'd find at Disneyland, but it looked really sketchy. And by the 90s, really run down, it had a sleazy feel to it. If I'm honest about it, and I'm not trying to besmirch Chuck E. Cheese, but I always had this sort of like, this feels like a place perverts hang out. I know that's a terrible thing to say. I'm probably wrong. But when I was reading the Zero Hedge article today, my first thought was, okay, the only thing keeping Chuck E. Cheese alive are basically pedophile circuits. That's fucked up. I can't believe I said that. It's probably not true. I hope it's not true. I'm not trying to spread fake news. I'm just being honest about the feeling I get by going to a Chuck E. Cheese. I feel like they've tried to solve a problem for having a place for kids to go and parents to go, but it just has a weird feeling to it. And maybe it's because I'm an asshole. Like I said, I love Shakey's. Shakey's was a good place to get pizza. Shakey's had solid pizza on Sunday. We would tell our parents we were going to church. You know where we were really going on Sunday? When we said to mom and dad, yeah, we're going to 10 o'clock mass. You know where we were going? We were going to the brunch at Shakey's. Yeah, was it the most lavish brunch in the history of brunches? No. Was it pretty good? It was really, really good. They would have frickin' potato skins and pizza and everything at Shakey's for brunch on Sunday, and that's where we would go for our Catholic Mass. And if Dad would ask us, what did the priest talk about? I would usually come up with some story that sounds semi-plausible. But to be honest with you, Dad was pretty good at sussing that out, and it could get kind of heated. He did not like us going to Shakey's for Catholic Mass on Sunday. But Shakey's was pretty awesome. I don't know. It's funny. This is a funny little podcast I'm doing here. I may not make it that long, but yeah. So I got a bad feeling about Chuck E. Cheese, but that's okay. Shakey's was awesome. What's really funny about pizza when I was a kid, and I think that's how I'll close this out. So my older sisters got to go to Europe when they were in high school. I'm not going to be all like they got something I didn't get. That's all bullshit. But the point is they went to Europe. And when they got back from Europe from their trips, which was about the time we moved into the fancy house in Sky Ridge, they had a lot of European money. Now I mention this because, and again, I think I was 10 or 11 when this incident occurs. But yeah, I think I was 10 or 11. But anyways, they have all this European currency. And I'm 10 or 11, and I got some change in a jar someplace. And this place opens up in Mount Vernon, the first one ever, I think. I think this was really the first place like this ever in Mount Vernon that delivered pizza, okay? Or I should say, delivered New York style. It was really good pizza, Mario's Pizza. Mario's Pizza opens up in Mount Vernon. It's like, it's New York style delivery pizza. And it's like, holy crap. You mean you can pick up the phone and somebody will drive to your place and give you a pizza? I actually think Mario's may have been one of the first places that did that, at least in Mount Vernon. So this was like 81 or 1980. And yeah, Mount Vernon was in the middle of nowhere back then. Get over it. Get over the fact that I grew up in a place that was on the edge of the universe. You fuck. I don't care that you grew up with all the pedophiles in New York City. Good for you. Hanging out with Andy Warhol at Studio 54. Fuck you. I'm kidding. I love you. You're all great. But anyways, yeah, Mario's Pizza may have been one of the first places that did that. And I mention this because there was this one night, and I think our parents were asleep, and we all decided, all of us kids decided that we wanted to get pizza from Mario's Pizza. So we call and we order it, and it's like, hey, it's gonna be this much money. It's like, okay. And we say, okay, so do we have the money? Well, we had the money, but we didn't necessarily have it in the form that was gonna be functional. We basically had a lot of Italian currency. I mean, this is before the euro, folks. We had a lot of Italian currency and Spanish currency and English currency and German currency and some American currency. And so when the Mario's Pizza guy showed up, and this is 1980 or 81, he shows up. We basically hand him this basket of currencies for the pizza. And that led to our parents waking up, and that led to us getting in a lot of trouble. But like I said, Mario's Pizza delivered, and we used a lot of different European currency to try to pay for it. Anywho, I think I'm gonna just stop this one here, but I don't know how I feel about Chuck E. Cheese. I've got mixed feelings. I don't know if it's good or bad that they can now, fucking show their stock up on fucking whatever, that they can sell their stock. I don't know what Chuck E. Cheese is about. I always had a creepy feeling. There were better places. There were better arcades. There were places that felt more natural. At least the arcade at the mall felt more natural than Chuck E. Cheese.